My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, and that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Told in the entrance antiphon of the Mass of Thanksgiving, sing psalms and hymns and inspired songs among yourselves, singing and chanting to the Lord in your hearts. This week could be called the Week of the Angels, but it could also be called Week of Thanksgiving, a special week in which to thank God for all the special things that he gives to us. One of the saints says, always be giving thanks to God constantly for everything, for what seems good and for what seems bad, for what is sweet and for what is bitter, for the white and for the black, for small things and for big things, for whatever seems meager and whatever seems bountiful, for what is temporal and for what reaches into eternity. We will raise up our mind and heart in thanksgiving to God when we see the hand of God in everything. And we make that act of faith, whereby we say, well, the finger of God is here in this particular thing. We may not see it, we may not understand it, it could be a mystery, it could be painful. But if somehow we know the hand of God is here behind these things, God is working, he's at work in this moment. He has permitted this particular thing. He wants to bring good out of this particular situation, omni and bonum. And so every situation is a situation to give thanks to God, because we know the finger of God is here. We make an act of faith and hope when we say those words. It's interesting to see how constant in the liturgy are the words of thanksgiving. We do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. First line of the Eucharistic prayers. Always and everywhere. There are no exceptions. It's a constant. Because every moment is a grace. Every little thing we have is a gift. You have no need of our praise, we're told in the fourth Eucharistic prayer. Yet our desire to thank you is itself your gift. Our desire to thank you. Our awareness that I have nothing. Our awareness of your gifts. We realize, thank you, Lord, for this particular thing. Help me to have greater desires to thank you, as I realize the magnitude of what you've given to me. If you, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? When we raise up our mind and heart in thanksgiving to God, we acknowledge that more. Possibly the things that God has given to us that he hasn't given to others, that he might not have given to us, that this particular thing is a gift or a grace, or a great help, or it lifts us up onto a new plane. It helps us to live more in accordance with our supernatural calling. And often those gifts are not just material things. Possibly much more frequently they're spiritual things. The grace to see this idea more clearly. The grace to understand that concept. The grace to see a certain optical angle of the presence of God in the world. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap, are gathered into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. We look on the whole of creation in a regular way, and somehow God speaks to us through these things. That more is there in those moments, helping us to see the world and its purpose, the many aspects of it from a divine perspective. The author of creation is present in everything. And that can give us a great peace and a great hope, because my Heavenly Father is present to me. I'm reminded that I'm carried in the palm of a hand of a God who loves me. In that same, in the fourth preface of Weekdays, we're told, our prayer of thanksgiving adds nothing to our greatness, but makes us grow in our grace. But we don't add anything to God by the thanksgiving that we give. But we are the ones who grow, because we become more aware of the gift. Humble souls are grateful souls, because they realize that everything is a gift. They open their eyes to the reality that I have nothing, I deserve nothing, I am nothing. Anything I have is because God has given it to me. And therefore this custom, now this norm, is a norm of always. Because everything in every moment is a gift of God. In the first Eucharistic prayer it says, we come to you, Father, with praise and thanksgiving. We can thank our Lord that we have a grace in our life, that every day of our life we hear these words when we come to the Mass. We may hear them unconsciously, but they're there. We hear these words all the time. And so we're reminded of this reality. That in itself is a grace. Come to you with praise and thanksgiving. And possibly our heart or our mind, well, has difficulty getting onto the pattern, because maybe we're still a bit sleepy, or we didn't sleep too well last night, or our mind is a million miles away, but my physical presence here is a statement. I'm saying with my feet that I want to unite myself to what's taking place on the altar, this great act of thanksgiving which the Mass is. And God has given us the grace and the custom and the habit and the possibilities of being present every day of our life at this great act of thanksgiving. Further on in the Eucharistic prayer one, it says, he gave you thanks and praise. Christ was always lifting up his heart and soul in thanksgiving to his Heavenly Father. Great pathway to happiness. It's impossible to be grateful and to be unhappy. If we're ever unhappy about something, well, start to make acts of thanksgiving for that thing, and opens your eyes to a different way of looking at things. By being grateful, we are happy. And because we're grateful always, well, we try to be happy always. We have the means. Because we see there's a bigger picture. The hand of God is at work in these particular moments. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We're nothing. We have our sinful nature. We have our addictions. We have our miseries, our failures. But yet, in spite of all of that, you've called us. You've counted us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. And still there may be so many things in our life that we have not fully grasped that they're gifts, or things that God has given to us that we have taken for granted. We don't thank him enough. An elderly priest in Singapore told me how he had to get some cataract operation on his eyes. He was 81 years of age, and he was thinking, well, what will I, the doctor told him he won't be able to read for 2 or 3 days. He was thinking, well, what will I do for 2 or 3 days? He suddenly said, after 50 years of being a priest, I realized how much we priests need our eyes to say Mass, to read the breviary, to give a class, to do all sorts of things like anybody else. And as he was wondering what he was going to do for the next 3 days, the following morning he said the gospel in the Mass was about the man born blind. But the Lord was hitting me in the teeth with a baseball bat. Wake up. I've given you 81 years of sight. Not 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 years, but 81 years. And here you are wondering about what am I going to do for 3 days. Can we see the bigger picture? We realize we have so many things to be grateful for. And often the simple, ordinary things of our human body, our faculties, are something that can lead us to lift up our heart and soul continually to God. As the antiphon said, sing psalms and hymns and inspired songs among yourselves. Singing and chanting to the Lord in your hearts, because I can see, because I can hear, because I have limbs that work. Especially when we see around us possibly so many children who don't have these things. And those to whom much has been given, much will be demanded. Or 5 talents. God, how do you want me to use all the talents you've given to me? Well, first and foremost, help me to thank you for them so that I become more aware of them. I don't go around saying that, well, I have no talents. No? I wasn't there when the talents were being given out. No? We all have talents, immense talents. And over time, God wants us to use those things to give him great praise. All creation rightly gives you praise. Third Eucharistic prayer. All creation rightly gives you praise. Every time the birds sing, the whole of creation necessarily gives God praise. The tiles of the floor, the linens of the altar, ordinary material things, the animals, they don't have any other choice. Their whole existence gives praise to God. Only in the human heart does God find resistance because of our freedom. And so we could say that we want to unite ourselves to the whole of creation. And so our first thought in the morning could be a thought for God, a thought of thanksgiving. Thank you for this night. Thank you for the fact that I had a bed to lie down on. Maybe I had a pillow, that I had sleep sheets or a blanket or a roof over my head, and so many things that other people didn't have. And maybe I didn't sleep so well, but I did get a few hours. No? And as we grow in life, we realize that sleep is a gift. We're encouraged to have 7.5 to 8 hours rest. We're not encouraged to have 7.5 to 8 hours sleep. There is a difference. No? As we get older in life, we realize one is not the other. No? But we realize then that sleep is a gift. Thank you, Lord. St. Jose Maria said, Lord, I slept a little less last night, but I prayed a little more. And even if I don't feel like it, I know that I have rested. My chemistry is ready for another day and a whole pile of other things. We offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. We live to give you thanks. We live for the Mass. We bring everything there that should be there, even our ingratitude, for all those other things that somehow or other we know that we have, but we haven't thanked you for them, the spiritual gifts. Pass unnoticed, the graces that you give us, the ideas that pass through our head, the initiatives that we have, the ability to be able to do certain jobs which maybe we take for granted, to write, to put 2 sentences together. We bring it to you, place it on the pattern. In the Eucharist, 4th Eucharistic prayer, it says, Father, we acknowledge your greatness. All your actions show your wisdom and love. We acknowledge your greatness. We see it. we're aware of it. We thank you, Father. We live with this awareness that you're beside us all the time. You're in control of the world, even if it might seem the opposite. And in this funny world that you have created, well, you've placed us here to be a witness to you, to live out this lifestyle so that many other people can come to know you in different ways, or from the witness of our lives can be led to see things they never saw before. In that same Eucharistic prayer, it says he showed the depth of his love. Often with the gifts God gives us, he shows the depth of his love. So many things. And therefore we have to be careful with ingratitude. 9 of the 10 lepers were ungrateful. That's an ungrateful servant in the gospel. The older son in the parable of the prodigal son is ungrateful. Takes everything for granted. The work I'm doing, the blessings that I have. Begins to complain because he doesn't realize the gift. You never gave me these other things. Gets angry. Lord, help me to open my eyes. To thank you for the things I don't have. To thank you for the crosses, the contradictions, the misunderstandings, the miscommunications, the little injustices that you may want me to bear in this life. Because all those things are gifts to help me to grow in holiness, the purpose of my Christian vocation. Even the temptations we can thank God for. He allows those temptations to lead us to a greater faith and hope and humility, to know our weakness, to run back to him like little children. It's easy to be grateful to God for the good things. Maybe it's not so easy to be grateful for the not so pleasant things. And there are so many things we take for granted, for which we need to be grateful. You've probably heard the story before of the time many years ago where I got a number of bed sheets, I think 1,000 bed sheets that came from Singapore, and we distributed them in different places. And we kept a few for a shelter we had for street kids there in Eastlands, it's a nice slum. And some of these kids had never had bed sheets before, and a few weeks later I asked one of them, well, how are the bed sheets going? How are you finding things? And he said, well, very good, thank you, but I wonder if the next time if they could be black. I was wondering, black bed sheets? Now, why would you want black bed sheets? Of all the crazy things in the world, who ever heard of black bed sheets? And he said, well, if they could be black so they don't show the dirt. Perfectly normal male psychology. So I was thinking, well, I'll try and contact the manager of the 5-star hotel in Singapore and ask him if he wouldn't mind changing all his bed sheets to black. We could organize a whole new culture of hospitality all over the world. So if you go someplace sometime and you find black bed sheets, well, you know where the idea came from. But one little kid in one little place has this amazing idea, which has the potential to change a world culture, because I never experienced those things before. We're told in Scripture, if you knew the gift of God, often we don't know the gift of God, we don't realize it. And so thanking God for his benefits is a sign of faith, of hope, of love. And then we realize why in Scripture there's a constant encouragement to give thanks to God. The hymns, the psalms, the words of all just men are filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so the expression of thanks is an extraordinarily beautiful way of relating to God. And also to others. Everybody loves to be thanked. The person who says, oh, you don't need to thank me, you better be doubly sure that you thank them. Everybody loves to be thanked. And God likes to be thanked. We're reminded that if you thank somebody, well, they're much more inclined to give you more. So also with our Father God. As a form of prayer, it's very pleasing to God. And in some way, it's an anticipation of the praise that we will give him eternally. We call the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist precisely thanksgiving, Eucharistia, as it's a foretaste of that eternal happiness. And so, Lord, help me to see more things for which I can thank you, whether they're big or small. You could find a million small things to give God thanks for every day, possibly things for which we've never thanked him before. Sometimes when something goes wrong, or we can't find our glasses or the key or our phone, or something's dropped out of our pocket, well, suddenly we miss that thing. We have to look for it. I wonder, where did I leave it? But then you remember all the times when I didn't lose it, or was in my pocket, or I could use those particular things. Maybe I didn't thank God for all those small little things. In this week of the angels, will we can receive valuable help from the angels in giving thanks to God, especially the angels around the tabernacle are constantly giving God praise, making up for our deficiencies. They're there like helpers in this whole process. One of the lines of the Eucharistic prayer says, may your angel take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven. May your angel take this sacrifice, this Mass, to your altar in heaven. Every time we do a part of our work, we could say the same thing. May your angel lift up this work that I have been able to accomplish. Perhaps this floor that now looks so shiny, or this other job that I was able to complete, or this other thing that I got done, well, in spite of the pain in my back, or this bit of arthritis, or my headache, or my lack of energy today, or my feeling of tiredness, or all sorts of other things, or the piece of bad news that I received, I was able to accomplish this task. So may your angel take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven and give you thanks for always. And so the angels are present. They lift up these things. We're told in Christ is passing by, if we love Christ who offers himself for us, we will feel compelled to find a few minutes after Mass for an intimate personal thanksgiving, which will prolong in the silence of our hearts that other thanksgiving which is the Eucharist. And so those special moments after Mass are special moments of thanksgiving, which we should take care of in a special way, keep it alive, vibrant, find new ways and means of giving thanks. Let the Holy Spirit work to lead us to new prayers that can express our sentiments in those moments, so that we use them well, put our heart and mind and soul into them. How are we to approach him? What are we to say? How should we behave? Christian life is not made up of rigid norms, we're told. Still, I feel that on many occasions, the central theme of our conversation with Christ and our thanksgiving after Holy Mass can be the consideration that our Lord is our King, Physician, Teacher, and Friend. Our King, because he has ransomed us from sin and brought us to the kingdom of light. Thank him for our formation. So much light in our life. Ideas, truths, to which we are continually exposed. So we're led forward in appreciating that light. We ask our Lord to reign in our hearts, in the words that we say today, in our thoughts, in each of our actions. We see Jesus the physician, because he's the remedy for all our illnesses, our egoism, our selfishness, our laziness, our comfort. We approach communion as he was approached by the blind, the deaf, the paralytic. And we try to remember that we have the source of all life, putting himself at our disposal within our souls. He is the life. Jesus is the teacher whom we recognize as having the words of eternal life. Where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Powerful words in Scripture that we read in the Mass occasionally. He has so many things to teach us. There's so much ignorance in the world, and yet we have so much light. Interestingly, Mother Teresa says that ignorance is the greatest poverty. Ignorance is the greatest poverty. And so God has made us so wealthy, so spiritually rich. Often we focus on material richness as the world does, and we forget the wealth with which God has crowned us. He wants us to use that wealth well. We're spiritual millionaires. So many wonderful things. And our Lord, the teacher, is constantly teaching us, repeating things again and again. You know that the experts say that parents have to repeat things 500 times before little children get them on the 501st. And we're like those little children. Jesus, the teacher, is repeating to us the same lessons over and over, so that finally we get the message. We shouldn't be surprised that it takes us time for the penny to drop, to realize the beauty of the greatness, the depth of that particular idea, or this sacrament, or these other words of Scripture. And so, Lord, help us to listen. Through communion, we learn to look at our friend, the true friend, from whom we learn all about friendship. No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. Thank you, Lord, for inviting me to such friendship, so that I come to my prayer and I talk to you. I unload my heart. I find new energy for the journey. I find solace in your companionship. My heart flies to you during the day. Because I love you, because I want to love you more, because you are love. So I move to tell you what's happening in my life. And I'll always find an encouraging word, a consoling word, which comes to me sometimes possibly through my guardian angel, who thanks you for me, helps me to do things a little bit better. Our Lady said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. This profound act of thanksgiving poured forth from the heart of Mary. He had looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid. Henceforth all nations will call me blessed. And Mary, may you help us to use well this week of the angels, this week of thanksgiving, to grow in our heart and our soul that spirit of thanksgiving that you have, which led you to say such beautiful words, which can be on our lips for all eternity. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me during this meditation. I ask your help to put them into practice, my Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, and my guardian angel, intercede for me.